can be seated. We're going to be talking about thankfulness this morning. And did you know that if you can learn to be thankful, that you can change everything? That if you can learn to be thankful, that you can change your attitude, you can change your outlook on life, you can change the very attitude of the way that you feel and even look at life. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about how to be thankful, the importance of being thankful. But it's Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. It says, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts." How many people would love to have the peace of God ruling their hearts? That no matter what you encountered, His peace was in your life. No matter what was going on, His peace would be ruling in your life, would be ruling your hearts. "To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So apparently, peace that ruleth our heart is linked to being thankful. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Apparently, there is something powerful about worship and about singing also. He says here, if you want peace in your heart and let the peace of God rule in your heart, and then he talks about being thankful. He talks about being in the body, which is talking about having a group of believers that you are with. He talks about worshiping, singing psalms and singing hymns and spiritual songs. And there's something about it. You can be driving down the road and you can turn on, for some of y'all, it might be Lynyrd Skynyrd or something like that. And then you can take it and turn it over to the Christian station. And there's just a different feel about worship. It doesn't matter if they don't completely believe exactly like we do. It doesn't matter. There is something about it when you begin to hear them talking about Christ and Jesus and singing. There is a different feel to it. So it talks about having these music song in your life. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, give thanks to God and the Father by Him." It's Psalms 104 that says, "Enter into His gates, how? With thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations." Just reading that scripture makes you feel excited. It gives you a little pep in your step. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I'm finishing up a book by a guy by the name of Mark Divine. He's a ex-SEAL, Navy SEAL, and he wrote a book called The Unstoppable Mind. And it's an interesting read. He's got an interesting outlook on life and seeing it from his perspective. And he quotes a doctor by the name of Daniel Kahneman. He was the Nobel Prize winner in 2011. He's written several books, and one of them is Thinking Fast and Slow. And in this book, he uses a description of the mind and how the mind plays tricks on you, and how the mind manipulates and controls, and how you see life determines how you respond, how you act, how you talk, how you think, how you believe, your attitude. And he did an experiment there at the office. He went in and put a big coffee machine up and put a price on there, 50 cents a cup. And next to the 50 cents per cup, he put a picture of a flower pot. And he said hardly nobody, it was an honor system, and hardly nobody paid for their coffee. They'd come in and they'd see that pretty flower pot, and it was all sweet and kind, and they'd pour their coffee and they'd read the sign and they'd just go on about their business. So he came back a few weeks later and he put a picture of eyes staring right at them while they did it. They said that the paying for coffee went up like 90% as they sat there and looked at those eyes looking at them, and nothing had changed but the picture that was on the wall. But it was something about those eyes watching them that messed with their mind, that made them feel like that, you know what, possibly I should pay for my coffee. You know, if you hear that the statement that Anne approached the bank and you're a city dweller, you think, well, she approached Chase Bank. She went to Capital One, and that's your mindset. That's the way Jody would think. They approach the bank, Jody would think, hey, they're at First Federal. But if you're a river guide and somebody says that Anne approached the bank, your first thought is that they're getting right there next to the shore. You know, you say that to Brother Statham or Brother Leo, and they're not thinking about the bank. You know, Brother Hooper, he's thinking about the bank. And so it's depending on the way you think. It's depending on your mindset and where you are. I had to get a bigger vehicle to fit all of my tribe. And when I bought the vehicle, now everybody owns a Sequoia everywhere I go. Everywhere I turn, they're everywhere. I thought I was going to be kind of unique. I didn't get a Tahoe, you know. And no, there's Sequoias everywhere. Everybody owns one. They're in my neighborhood now. They're all over the place. And they've always been there. It's just where your mind works, what you think, what you see, what you're thinking about. Cal Menard, it was set a goal to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. His goal was to climb this mountain because his dying friend's last request was that he would empty his ashes on top of that mountain. Now, that's one of the largest mountains in the world. I've had the opportunity to see it. It's one of the only mountains that has pretty much all four seasons going on at the same time, per se. It's got cold. It's got hot. It's got jungle. It's got snow. It's got desert. And this mountain is so large. And he asked Kyle to climb this mountain for him and to empty his ashes on top for him. The only problem is Kyle had no arms and no legs. Now, what kind of friend is that? But Kyle was the kind of person that he was a perseverer. He's a motivational speaker and all kinds of different things. It took him 2 years to plan this trip. It took him 2 years to be prepared for it. It took him 2 years to train himself. That he literally army crawled with his little arms and legs up the side of Mount Kilimanjaro to empty this man's ashes on top of the mountain. It was more about what was in his mind and not about his physical ability. It was more about what he believed he could do rather than what anybody else could say he could do. It was more about what his thoughts were about the situation. When everybody else said it can't be done, he said, I can crawl all the way to the top of that mountain. When everybody else said, just send somebody else up there to do it, he'll still honor his wishes. You just don't have to be there. Get him a GoPro. Maybe y'all can Wi-Fi it in or something. Do something. But he said, I can do this. There's something about an attitude that creates the endless possibilities in your life. If you have a negative, we've all heard the saying, if you think you can't, or whether you think you can, you're right. Because whichever one you think, that's exactly what you're going to get out of life. He made the statement that when you have a positive attitude, that it attracts a positive energy, that there's something about it, that when you have a different outlook on life, it creates something different. It creates something positive in your life. It creates courage. It creates trust. It creates optimism. It creates forgiveness. It creates patience and acceptance and reverence and love and joy and serenity. It creates peace and it creates bliss. All of these adjectives have been linked to being able to have a positive attitude, something of being able to look at life a little bit differently than others, to be and have a positive slant on life, to be able to look at life and say, hey, I can find the positive in that person. We all know people that it doesn't matter what scenario you bring to them, they're going to find the very worst part of what it is. They're going to see everything that is wrong with it, and they'll see nothing right with it. Well, I'm a critic. God has given me the ability to see everything that's wrong. And I don't find anywhere in the Bible where that's a gifting. But I do hear find places where he talks about thinking on things that are what? Positive, great, good, wonderful. There's something about it that God isn't wanting us to focus on everything that is negative, but he's wanting us to look at the things that are right, to focus on things that are good. Negative, he said, negative attitudes. They create and weaken the mind and the body. They're degrading. They degrade performance. They degrade your attitude. They degrade everything that is going on in your life. He said that a negative attitude is you find in very prideful people, and it doesn't have anything to do with how prideful they really are. It has everything to do with some kind of a they feel like everybody owes them something. They've got to be respected for no reason. They've got to have things just because that they're there. It creates a scornful attitude. It creates anger. It creates hate. It creates desires of things that we shouldn't have. We're never satisfied. Cravings, anxiety, grief, regret, apathy, despair, guilt, and blame all come from being able to find everything that is wrong with the situations that are around us. Shame and humiliation. I heard a statement the other day. I thought I'd try. I walked into the supermarket the other day, and I was standing in line, and I think I might have been at Lowe's, and I was standing there, and she asked me how I was doing, and I said, I'm feeling good, looking good, and ought to be in Hollywood. And she just looked at me and scratched her head like, she said, well, all right. She smiled real big, and she'd never heard anything like that before. And you say it enough, you know, hey, I'm looking good, feeling good. And she took a good look and wondered, I don't know if he's telling the truth, but at least he's excited about it. And Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For if he is, he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever it is that's in here, that's who I am. That's what's going to come out. That's what's going to be a part of our lives. What we think about all day, what we dwell on, what we do, it affects our personality. It affects our moods. It affects who we are. We've got to understand that it affects the way that we see things around us and we see life. You know, I've talked about it before, that what we see, what you're looking at right here, is really an interpretation of what our eyes have taken in millions of different sensories and taken and thrown it into the brain, and the brain stirs it up and figures out what we are seeing, that there is a literal blind spot between the two eyes, and our mind will literally figure out what should be in the middle of that, and it makes up what should be in the middle of that. You can put dots on a piece of paper and move them back and forth. You can Google it on YouTube and try it for yourself. And there's a spot where it completely disappears in your line of sight, and you realize I can't see everything that is in front of me. And your mind manipulates it and fills in the holes that your eyes cannot see at different points because of where they're located. And so our mind can literally manipulate what we see. I know people that see things, they really see things, and it has nothing to do with what they see. It has everything to do with what's going on in their mind. You come and pray inside the church at 3 a.m. in the morning, and you'll see a shadow over here, and you'll see, you know, if you're not careful, and there's nothing there, but your mind manipulates what you see and what you hear and what you feel and what's going on and what's happening around you. We've got to understand the importance of our attitude affects what we see, because what we see is not always the reality of our life. When you look at Jacob and he looked at that coat of Joseph, everything inside of him said, my son is dead. And that's what he said, my son is dead, because that's what it looked like. That's what it was in front of him. But we've got to understand, just because of what it looks like doesn't mean that that's what it is. Satan played off of Eve's idea of what her life was like and what she was going through and where she was at and what was going on in her world. Eve, for some reason, even though she walked in the garden, she lived in a perfect utopia, she was not satisfied with her life. She was not thankful for what she had. All she could focus on is what she didn't have. We've got to understand that the enemy will play off of those emotions. Thankfulness is a key to your life. It is a key that turns your situation around because it changes you. It changes your outlook and it changes your attitude. There is power in having a thankful heart. Thanksgiving brings contentment in our life. If we can be thankful for what God has given us, we can be content with where we are. And if we're content with where we are, then we can have peace and joy in our lives. An attitude of thanksgiving accepts and embraces the will of God. An attitude of thanksgiving accepts and embraces the will of God. When we are always questioning God, what are you doing? What is going on? What is happening? We're not being thankful for what we have. We've got to understand that we may not understand it, but God, I'm going to be thankful and content with where I'm at this moment in time in my life. I understand that you are the beginning and the ending. You are the first and the last. You've got it under control. And the way that I'm going to show you that I trust you is I'm going to be thankful for whatever process in life that I'm in at this moment right now. Begin to thank God for all the blessings that he has given us instead of dwelling upon all of the negatives, because being discontent dries up your soul. When you are discontent, it's like it's constantly sucking the life out of you. It doesn't matter how awesome the church service was on Sunday morning. By Sunday night, you can have the life sucked out of you. It doesn't matter what kind of a prayer meeting you had on Monday morning before you went to work. When you walk in and all of a sudden everything is wrong and that's all you focus on, it can suck everything that was good, everything that God put in you that morning out of you. But if you can walk in and say, hey, guess what, devil? I'm not going to focus on all the things that are wrong. I'm going to focus on what's right in my life. I'm going to focus on what's good in my life. I'm going to focus on what God is doing in my life. Elizabeth Elliot lost her husband. Most of us know, have heard about Elizabeth Elliot, who lost her husband to cannibals in Ecuador back in, I believe, 1956. And the way that she attacked life after that, she said, to love God is to love his will. It is to wait quietly for life to be measured by one who knows us through and through. It is to be content with his timing and his wise appointment. It is to follow in the steps of the master as did Paul, who is able to say that he had learned contentment no matter what the circumstances. His circumstances, when he wrote that, he was in prison. No easy lesson, but a great gain, which the sum of all godliness plus contentment, he says in 1 Timothy 6 and 6. It is vital to developing a thankful personality, to meditate on the things that are right in our lives, to meditate on the goodness of God. Because it's Romans 12 and 2 that says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing of the mind, renewing of my thought patterns, renewing of how I look at life. I can't be a cynic forever because I'll be miserable forever. Somewhere along the way, we've got to begin to look for the good. We've got to begin to look for what's right. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see newborn Christians that all fired up and they don't see all the problems. They don't see that they sang the same song 3 weeks ago. They don't say that he preached a sermon almost exactly like that last Wednesday. They don't see all of that. They're just excited about God. In order to stay excited about God, we've got to constantly be getting into His presence to fill ourselves back up. We've got to constantly change the way that we think. That I can't come in here waiting to see what's going to happen. I came in here to lift Him up. I came in here to thank Him for how good He has been to me. Isaiah 26 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Think to yourself this morning, what have you thought about? What have you thought about? Think about. I don't think that's a word for all you English teachers here today. What have you thought about this week? What has your mind dwelt on? There are things at work that are negative. There are things at work that problems and situations. I know some of y'all, that's what your job is. You are a problem fixer. But when you leave that job and you've done fixing everything that you're paid to fix, where does your mind dwell when you leave that place? What kind of thoughts do you have? Do you have joyful thoughts or do you have negative thoughts? Are you happy or are you sad? What is it that is in your life how is it that you feel? What is going on? What have you thought about this week? Has it been just about the bills? Has it been about your marriage? Has it been about different circumstances and situations in your life? They asked the Duke of Wellington, a British military leader, the one who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. They asked him at the end of his life, a young lady was interviewing him, and she asked him, "If you could change one thing in your life, what would you do all over again?" And he thought carefully, and he said, "I would give more praise." If I could change anything, this masterful general, this general that had stopped a man that was taking over the world, this man that was known around the world for his abilities, when asked what he would change about his life, he said, "I would give more praise to people. I was too negative. I pointed out everything that was wrong with everybody that was around me. I attacked every situation that I didn't feel was right. If I could change one thing about me, I would lift people up instead of tear them down." You see, there's something about your attitude that it affects you when you lift somebody else up. When you're tearing somebody down, you've got to be mad. You've got to go to a certain state of mind. You've got to be in a certain place to pull them down. But when you lift them up, it takes you to a completely different place. When you say something positive about them, and hey, I like that shirt. I like the way you did that song. I like your vehicle. Whatever it is, saying something positive instead of looking for the things that are wrong. Not only does it affect you, but it also affects them. How can I be thankful? I first start with how I discuss and talk about the people that are around me. I can control that. I can't control the situations that are around me, but I can control about how I talk about the people in the situations that are around me. I can't change the fact that certain situation or that person might be that way, but I can change the fact about the way the words that I speak about them come out of my mouth. What is it? The power of life and death, or what? In what? It's in the tongue. And so when I begin to speak positive instead of negative, it changes the atmosphere and it helps change the attitude of my life. How else can I change my attitude to be more thankful? Take time to think and praise God for everything in your life. If you never stop to think about what's right, it's easy for our minds to only dwell upon everything that's not right. And so in order for us to get this old carnal mind to think about things that are above, we've got to force ourselves to think about. Now, there are some people, they walk around, it's roses and lilies and tulips everywhere, and life is great. But for most of us, we've got to think ourselves happy. We've got to work on it. It's something we've got to concentrate on. It's something we've got to work at in our lives. So if we're going to be happy, we're going to have to make sure we talk right about the people that are around us and take time to think about and to praise God for the things that are good in our lives. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my vehicle. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my children. Thank you for their health. Thank you for my grandchildren. Thank you for the coat that I got to put on this morning and I didn't freeze to death on the way to the car. Thank you for the things that you have given me in my life. You want to have a thankful attitude? The third thing you need to do is don't allow yourself to complain about anything. Now that one's hard. I can say nice things about some people. You know, not everybody you're saying. I can't say nice things about everybody, but I can find some nice things to say about some people. And I can praise God for what he's given me. Amen. But to stop complaining? Now, how hard would that be? What would happen if you had to smash your finger every time today you complained about something or thought a negative thought? Brother Odell said he'd beat out of fingers. It's just the way our mind works. We constantly snip and bite and jump and jerk and this is wrong and that is wrong and the things that are out of our control and things that are going on and we complain and we get frustrated and we get angry and then we're definitely not thankful when we're in that mindset. But we want peace. If I want peace, I've got to change the way that I think. I've got to change the way that I talk. I've got to change the way that I believe. I've got to change the way that I say things about people. If I want to be thankful, not only am I going to have to change the way I talk about the people around me, not only am I going to have to begin to praise God for the things that are right in my life on a constant basis, not only am I going to have to try to find ways to limit and to stop my complaining, we have to stop comparing ourselves to everybody else. It doesn't matter if you catch up with the Joneses. The Smiths are going to be three steps ahead of them. You cannot be thankful and happy if you compare yourself to everybody that is around you. Somewhere along the way, you've got to come to the place and say, hey, everything is okay. Everything's going to be all right. I'm happy with where I am. I'm content with the life that I have. I don't have to have all of that other stuff. I don't have to be like all of those other people. I don't have to measure up to everybody else that is around me. I don't have to have the nicest vehicle on my block. I can be content with who I am in Christ Jesus and thankful for what I have. Thankful. The four things that I mentioned here today are all things that every one of us can do in this place this week. You can make a list of them and just read them in the morning. All right, I'm going to say nice things about Billy Bob even though I don't want to. I'm going to thank God for the things that are right in my life. Just walk around and look in your house. Look at the pictures that are in your house. Look at the food that is in your refrigerator. You're blessed and highly favored. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I finally gotten to the age that I'm being able to look and see second, third, and fourth generations of people. And I've watched people that are highly negative, people that are everything is always wrong, and they have created little mini-me's. And even though they see all the stuff that's wrong in their parents and they don't ever want to be that way, they turn out just like them. It's just a cycle that we've learned. This is how we respond. This is what we do. And if that is you, then somewhere along the way, you've got to break that cycle. You've got to break that mindset. You've got to break that thought pattern. You've got to make up your mind. I'm not going to be in the molly grubs till the day I die. There are people that I know that are walking on streets of gold now, and I'm happy for them, but I don't want to live the life that they live to get there. I want to live with peace and joy and happiness. I want to look at the things that are right. I think there's a whole lot better way to do it, and we can be that and live that. No. Be thankful for what you've got. Speak positive. positive about the people that are around you. Find good things, even if they've only got one good attribute, focus on that good attribute. If they've got good hair, talk about how awesome their hair is. But find something, because when you say something positive, not only does it affect them, it affects you, because you don't have to go to that place to tear them down. Thank God for the things that He has given you. Don't allow yourself to complain. Get you a rubber band and put it on your wrist, and the second you complain, pull that thing back and let it go. You get a good whelp there after about 3 days, and after a while, you'll be like, man, it's just not worth it anymore. And if I see some of y'all next Sunday and your hands all swollen up in a sling, I'll know, man, it was a rough, rough week for them. And stop comparing yourself to everybody else. I'm looking good. I'm feeling good. I ought to be in Hollywood. I don't care if you have a nicer car. I got a better life. I don't care if you have the bigger house. God is good. I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Amen. Lord, I ask you right now, God, that you would help us, that you would lead us and guide us as we thank you and we praise you, oh God, for the year that you've given us. We thank you, oh God, that we're able to walk in here on a Sunday morning and worship you. We thank you, oh God, that even though everything might not be the best in our life, we serve a God that is the best. We serve a God that's going to carry us through. We serve a God that is the beginning and the ending. And we may not be able to control every aspect of our life, but we can control our response. So, Lord Jesus, I go forth from this place this morning, God. Help me to control my response and my attitude. Help me, God, not to see things the way that I've always seen them, but help me to see them through your eyes, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen.